Morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. Well, yesterday I talked about toys and you're thinking, well, maybe that's enough about toys. But you know what? It just sort of fascinated me. And then it so happened that last night on TV, there was a story about one of the new toys. And then there was an article in the newspaper. I'm going, oh, we need to talk about toys more. So whether you're interested or not, I guess I'm just sort of pursuing my interest and fascination. I did, we're going to come up to date with the new techie kinds of things that are on the market now. But I wanted to go back again, a couple things about going way back in time, you know, 500,000 years ago and about kids playing. One of the statistics that it said is sort of like, oh, 25% of children died before their fifth birthdays. So families are probably more concerned about keeping their child alive than what kind of toys they're going to have, what they're playing with. 40% of young people died before 16. So that kind of puts things in perspective. But this article also said that Egyptian children played similar games to the ones children play today. They played with toys like dolls, toy soldiers, wooden animals, balls, marbles, spinning tops. You know, there were things like we play with today. And of course, the other thing, in addition to children not growing up, is also as soon as they could, and that would be very early age, when children did not go to school, of course, but as soon as they could, they were expected to work at home and in whatever their parents were doing. But it did mention that in ancient Greece, ball games were played with pigs' bladders. But they did have things with wheels, model horses with wheels, rocking horses, spinning tops. So some things, again, that we're familiar with. But how times do change in some ways, and yet some of those things just go on forever. Well, the program that, or the news article, news item that I saw on TV last night related to the Hatchimals. And I don't know if you've seen this, but it's shaped like an egg. And if you do, the kid does the right thing, something hatches out of it. Well, do you remember, some of you will very much remember, the whole Cabbage Patch doll craze? It went crazy and people couldn't buy them. They weren't available, or they would, you know, if they found one from somebody else, they'd pay a big price for it. Well, from what I understand, according to this report, Hatchimals are now like that. Some people are buying them by the dozens, or had been, and then trying to resell them at a higher price. And of course now, I'm guessing you probably can't even find them. And the price, well, somewhere between $60 and $200. You know, this is not just a cheap kind of thing that you do. So what does the child do with this? Well, from the description that I saw, they can hear a heartbeat. They can flip them over before this thing is hatched. If you tap on them, they'll tap back like there's something live in there. And at a certain point, when they're ready to hatch, there will be something that a sign that they're ready to hatch. And the whatever's inside will come out. And then it can be taught to walk and talk and dance and do lots more things. So you can see why it's a really expensive kind of thing. But maybe the best thing are still those kinds of things that children can use with their bodies and hands. And it's interesting that, again, this article that I saw in the Omaha World Herald talks about how technology and getting children more active go together. And they call it from hands to screen. So not saying that we need to not give children toys that involve technology. In fact, the American Academy of Pediatrics recently revised its guidelines to shift the emphasis away from banning screen time altogether and toward balancing high-quality content with non-screen activities. And so the writers, and of course this was a group of people gathering information together, said that toys that teach, of course, aren't a new thing. Again, back in 1600s, 1500s, there was an English philosopher, John Locke, said that dice and playthings with letters on them would help children to learn the alphabet. So learning from toys is not a new thing. But a growing number of people who are concerned with children and technology are calling for kids to build with blocks, other everyday items before they get ready to use the screen. Or many of the new things kind of combine that screen time and an activity where the child actually is involved. Because, as we said, play is how kids learn about the world. Whether it's a toddler throwing a ball or teens playing video games, it's about seeing how things work and what happens when they do something. And over the years, toys have gotten more high-tech to keep screen-obsessed children engaged with such play. But until I think just recently, it was all screen time and sitting and using that screen. Whereas now some of the companies are saying, no, we need to somehow get those two things together so that the hands-on activities kind of go with what they're looking at on the screen. So one of the companies is the company Osmo. Kids learn everything from spelling to coding, not by touching a screen, but by snapping together magnetic blocks. And a screen is still part of it. An image is beamed onto the iPad through its camera. But the idea is to have the kids learn first with their hands, and then they see their creation move to the screen. Now, I don't know about you, but programming is still early in computers, I tried to learn about programming. First of all, I don't have enough patience. And secondly, I'm going to let somebody else do that. But with some of these new activities for kids, they are teaching programming, but through actual physical play, by playing with blocks or other kinds of things. In fact, Fisher Price, now most people know about the company Fisher Price and think about all the kinds of things that they've done in the past. They have something called Think and Learn Codapillar. That's Think Caterpillar, Codapillar, which introduces basic coding concepts by letting preschoolers assemble segments that tell the caterpillar to do something different, such as turn left or play sound. So kids can redo the parts of the caterpillar, the codapillar, to make it do something else. So, you know, that's it seems to me a pretty good combination of using hands, using body, and yet learning a little bit about programming. It just boggles my mind for sure. So another kind of thing that is being done, this is another company called Bloxels, attempts to bridge the physical and the digital. Kids build their own video games by putting plastic blocks in a special tray instead of writing out the code. And using a phone or tablet's camera, an app transforms the shapes created with the blocks into digital characters and scenery. Now, as I said all those things, there are some words in there that I'm going, oh, I don't use those things well. We're using the tablet's camera and an app. How many apps do you use? And we're talking about digital characters. I mean, those are all words that weren't even in our language not very many years ago. And now you ask any 3-year-old, 10-year-old, whatever, teenager about those words. Oh, yeah, it's a part of the language. And I hear lots of adults say, I can't figure out how to figure out my phone. I can't figure out how to figure out my tablet. But I have a teenage grandson that's coming, and he's going to take care of that for me. Well, you know, that's a part of life changing. And that's a part of the reason that parents, I think, want to make sure that their kids are exposed and experiencing lots of technology. Thinking ahead, I think that if a child doesn't discover those things, explore those things, aren't exposed now, that they will not be a part of the future in terms of jobs and careers. So, and whatever job it is or career it is, that could very well be true, because you think about, I think about car mechanics. Look at how that's changed all the computers in our cars, they can't be wiring most of them together like we long used to do, just wire it together and make it work. Doesn't work now. So companies that make computers for kids are seeing the value in a construction element. Another company, Kano, K-A-N-O, shows kids how to build their own computers in a kid-friendly storybook format. And the co-founder suggests that that they put this into an app form and skip the computer construction. He said the act of building a computer was key because it created a huge sense of energy and momentum of what followed on the screen. So going toward understanding instead of just using the screen, going more to the understanding and being physically involved. And any child educator will tell you the whole body, the sense of touch, the sense of smell. We haven't talked about that here in these toys, but all those senses are important to help us along to keep our brains working. So toys, it's a whole new world out there. And until next time, remember though, adults need to play too.